Yes.
Going way back, you know what I mean? The
William Henry Beamish, who was probably managing director or managing partner of Beamish and Crawford, was a provincial deputy Grand Master or vice president as such of the province of Munster for a long time. He was deputy to Lord Bandon, the fourth Earl of Bandon, whose portrait is on the stairs. That was very much in those days a ceremonial title, and it was the deputy who did all the work. We have two oil portraits in the lodge room, one over each of the entrance doors. One is of William Henry Beamish, and one is of a man called Anderson Cooper, who was head of the Provincial Bank of Ireland here in Cork for a long time. Freemasonry's always been a bit unusual in that it attracts people of rank and no rank, privilege and no privilege in equal measure. And even today, you would have from the unemployed student and the taxi driver through the farmer and shopkeeper to the substantial property owner and, you know, the modern day successor of the so-called landlord. And it was always like that. I think in some families it might have ran in families, in inverted commas, but I think the oldest family with continuous linkage with Freemasonry, proven back as far as the 1720s, when our records begin in 1725, would be the Newnham family. And they would have been property owners in Cork and Carrigaline for a long number of years. But it would vary hugely. You'd have a lot of generations skipped in families, you know, it doesn't always follow through.
If you went back a little bit of just backpedal a small bit to Elizabeth St. Ledger, did she continue as a Freemason? I mean,
She did. After her death.
Yeah, so it wasn't just that, like, she stumbled, I mean, you know, the legend is, you know, she stumbled across the ritual and such, that they, you know.
And they had to initiate her.
In those days,
there were only 2 degrees of membership. Now, since then, there were 3, or it was divided out a bit more to 3. But no, she was given the then 2 full degrees of membership, and it would appear that she became chairperson of her lodge in time. And some of the organisations, even still extant today, even the women only, some of them refer to each other as brother and worshipful master, even though they're women. They don't say sister and worshipful mistress at all. So it's a bit peculiar. I'm not sure how it works in co-masonry. But from what I can see, she was subscriber to a Masonic publication where she would have given money to purchase a copy before it came out to help it on its way. And
because in Orlick, I was just reading up when she was buried in St. Finbar's, like, didn't the, I can't remember the details now, but didn't they, like, the Cork Freemasons probably just crowd here, didn't they?
They would have attended, I'm sure.
Well,
she probably got a Masonic funeral, which isn't something that's happened for a long time. It's long gone. I think it was still happening in the mid to late 1800s, but not since. It would have involved people attending in their wearing their officer's attire and so on, and, you know, that kind of thing. It gives a bit of pomp and circumstance.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah.